We're wrapping up our series called All In, Pursuing a Life of Radical Surrender in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're talking about following Him and how we can follow Him today. And it reminded me as I was preparing, I used to love to play Follow the Leader when I was a kid. I don't know if you guys played that game, Follow the Leader. I especially loved it when I was the leader. Not so much when I had to follow. I just liked to do things that would make other people crazy or whatever. So the kids in the room, since you're here, I thought maybe we can't really follow each other around the room, but perhaps you can follow me in a couple of things. So if you're a kiddo here, let's say 7th grade on down. You know, 7th graders are not as big as you think, right? So let's do what I do, okay? Just watch. Maybe stand up. Stand up, 7th grade on down. Stand up so you can see me. Guys, got it? Okay, do this. Follow the leader, right? Okay, do this. Okay, you guys got some dance moves? I danced a long time ago. Have you ever done the sprinkler? Do the sprinkler real quick. Can you do that? Okay, that's probably enough. But thank you for participating. It's really important. Now I'm out of breath there a little bit. It's really important to learn how to follow the leader because you're going to want to be able to work for a boss. You're going to want to be able to follow your parents when they ask you to do things. Most importantly, though, when Jesus asks you to do something, He's going to want you to follow Him. And you have to learn to be humble and to submit to the things that He has for you to do. So being all in this morning means following Jesus no matter what, whether you completely understand or not, whether you like what Jesus says. He tells us the truth, and He's perfect, and He loves us, so He wants us to follow Him. And I ask the question, how? Well, it's basically by learning and depending upon what the Bible says. The Bible is the most authoritative, accurate record that we have, objective record that talks about the life of Jesus, how He wants us to live, to put our faith in Him, and how He wants us to follow. So it was promised, the coming Messiah was promised when Ecclesiastes was being written. That's the foundation of this series. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, otherwise it'll be on the screen behind me. The Messiah hadn't yet been revealed. Jesus Christ hadn't been revealed. But the way to find Him and the way to follow Him was beginning to be laid out. So this first idea that I want you to know about following Scripture, and kids especially, if you have these little sheets that Miss Tanya made for you, you can fill in this blank. Why would we follow Scripture? What is it telling us to do to follow Jesus? You need to understand that the Bible is perfect. Okay, that first blank is perfect. The Bible is perfect. It doesn't lead us astray. It is written in a way that is authoritative and sufficient for all that we need. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9, we read as follows. Not only was the teacher, talking about Solomon, wise, but he was also imparted with knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. If you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, that was written by King Solomon, and he worked really hard on that book to be able to give us some wise things to follow. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. Basically, in the nature of the Hebrew that's written here, he's basically saying King Solomon, through God's direction and the Holy Spirit working in his life, searched out the right words for us to follow, put the words in the right order for us to follow, made things that could be confusing or crooked and things like that, made them straight and clear so that you could know who God is. God doesn't want us to be confused in life and to wonder about how He wants us to live. He wants to be very clear in the direction that He gives us. And the Bible is true and perfect, and you can trust the direction that God gives. Psalm 111 talks a little bit about this as well, the nature of Scripture that's being written. I thought we'd read this. I'd read this to you. Psalm 111, verse 7. It says, the works of His hands, all that God does, all that He writes, all that He says, the works of His hands are faithful and just, and all of His precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and in uprightness. He provides redemption for His people, and He ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name, the Lord God Almighty, revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ that we now know. The Bible is perfect. If you're looking for anything else in life that's perfect, you're not going to find it. Now, I believe my grandchildren are pretty close to perfect. And, you know, especially in comparison to some of your grandkids, mine are really awesome. But I was with them yesterday. They're still, even in their little cute form, they're still incredibly sinful. Okay, they have the audacity to disobey grandfather, you know, which is really stunning that they don't trust me to give them the right directions. But it's just, It's just something that's broken in us, and it's called sin. That's why Jesus came, to show us the way to God. We have to get rid of this sin problem, right? We have sin that breaks our ability to do things that God wants us to do, to listen to Him. But He says, look, follow Jesus. The perfect way to get rid of sin is through Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection. The perfect way to be wise in the midst of your families and jobs and those kinds of things is in Proverbs and other sections of Scripture. Follow it. It'll show you the right way. It's perfect. The second idea that we get from Ecclesiastes is this. The Bible is purposeful. The Bible has a purpose in all that it does. It's not just a random, ethereal type of philosophy that you may understand or you may not. It has very clear direction and purpose and causality to it to show us how to live. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11 says, "The words of the wise are like goads. Their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd." Given by one shepherd. He basically is talking about Jesus Christ being the shepherd. He's the good shepherd of all of us, we learn later in the New Testament. So he's talking about the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. But he says the words that are in this book and that he speaks are wise, they can give us joy, but they're also like goads. When's the last time you used the word goads in a sentence? Do you even know what it is? We have two references, just for Bible trivia. It talks about goads here and then in Acts 26. We also learn about goads in the recollection from the Apostle Paul when Jesus was revealing truth to him and trying to change his life to get him to follow Jesus. In Acts 26, verse 24, it says this, it says, "We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic," that was the language of the day, "Saul, Saul," this is the vision of Jesus speaking to Paul, right? "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." What's a goad? Okay, the goad is basically in shepherd terminology. Jesus Christ is the right shepherd, is the good shepherd. It's basically a long stick with sharp things like nails stuck on the end of it. And so what a shepherd would do, he wouldn't do this because he was a mean shepherd, but he would occasionally just tap the sheep as it was going, maybe directions that were dangerous, to keep it from hurting itself, right? To keep it in line. And basically Paul is saying, don't kick against the goads because you'll hurt yourself. There's an interesting side of God's teaching and God's word. Yes, it's full of wisdom. Yes, it will give us joy. Yes, it shows us about Jesus Christ. But also at times it's painful. When you learn something that you're not doing right, it can be painful, like that little goad tapping on you a little bit. When you learn something that perhaps you've done wrong, the Bible calls that sin, right? You haven't treated your brother and sister the right way. You haven't acted in an upright way in your workplace or something like that, in your school. Get a little bit of tap from God's word and you realize, you know what? I do need you, Jesus. I do need to listen to you. I don't want my life to be destroyed by the sin that's in my life, and I'm willing to learn about what I've done wrong so that I can follow you with better joy and better purpose. God has allowed everything into your life to get you to follow Him and to recognize your need for Him. Sometimes that's really good stuff, and sometimes it's also painful stuff. But every life and every day and everything that's in there is a lesson so that God can get you to where He wants you to be. An upright, wise young man or young woman of God, an upright or wise, loving adult, a good marriage partner, a good father, a mother, a good grandfather, a grandmother, all of these things, God has purpose in what He allows in our lives so that we can grow. I was doing some yard work the other day, trying to get ready for the fall. I don't know if you guys live in a forest like I do, and the leaves and everything's kind of crazy. I was mowing my lawn with this little tractor mower thing that I've got, and there's a stump that I try to avoid because it's all full of thorn bushes and stuff like that. I keep thinking maybe one day it'll just magically go away if I don't pay attention to it. But I was driving around it, and it's got these blackberry thorns, and as I was driving in there, I went too close to mow, and it literally wrapped my arms up with thorns. I don't know if you've been in these thorns kind of things, it just grabs you and won't let you go. And I was thinking about the goads while I was in there, and I was thinking, I wonder, gosh, this really hurts. You know, I wonder if this is what he was thinking about. And then I couldn't really unwrap. So I just decided, you know what, I might as well just go for it. God's trying to teach me something. So I just gunned it and ripped it out of there. And I got out. I have reminders about how you probably shouldn't do that, and I'm going to be more careful. That's what God's Word does for you. Sometimes it stings a little bit. Sometimes it shows you things that maybe leave a little bit of a scar or something like that. But He does it because He doesn't want you to destroy your life on things that don't matter. He wants you to trust in His Word, trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, trust in the things that He says, and He's willing to allow pain in our lives to get us back on track, to help us, and to keep us on purpose and on growth. So the Bible is perfect. It's purposeful. Another idea that I want you to get, that little third blank if you're following along, kiddos, the Bible is sufficient. The Bible is completely sufficient. We don't need really anything else. Verse 12 of chapter 12, "Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to the wisdom and the teachings of the Bible that I have given you. Of making of many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body." Now, you guys know, if you've been here any length of time, and if you know me, I love to read. You go into my office, I've got lots of books. But one of the things I want you to understand is the most important book that you could ever read is the Bible. And the Bible is the foundation for all of the reading that I do. It's the foundation for all of our learning. And so if you're not a big reader like me, you don't have to be like me in all things like that, right? If you only have a limited amount of energy to read just a few things each and every day, I would recommend that you would read the Bible. Because the Bible is the one that's not going to lead you astray, and it's going to show you about who God is. It's the foundation of all beliefs. It's not going to be fleeting and confusing like other books and things that you might read. There's nothing in the end of the world we've learned in Ecclesiastes that everything in life eventually is fleeting and changing, and it's quite wearisome. But the Bible is sufficient to meet all of our needs. And so if you have the energy, I would recommend that you would read the Bible above all other books. Okay? It's the foundation of everything. So follow along with me, kids. The Bible is what? What's the first blank? Perfect. The Bible is purposeful. It has a reason for being and guides us in all things, even if it might be painful sometimes. The Bible is sufficient, clear. We don't need anything else. So the last one is the word clear. The Bible is clear. I remember talking to a guru a while back, and I'm not trying to make light of his belief. He's very sincere in what he believes, but he was explaining to me his philosophy of who God is and how meditation and things like that helps him understand the impersonal nature of the universe, and how he hopes one day that his karma will be good enough to get out of this world and the cycle of rebirths and those kinds of things, and get into it's not even really a relationship with an impersonal God. There's no one to really know, but eventually get absorbed into the universe and not suffer anymore. And I got to tell you, as he was explaining it to me, I was really trying hard to track with him, but it was not clear. It was incredibly hard to understand, and it was incredibly without hope. So how can I get good karma? Well, you got to do good things. Well, how can I know when my things are good enough? Well, you don't really know. You just kind of keep trying. And so the goal, though, is at the end of the day to be totally dead and absorbed into nothingness, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, well, that doesn't sound that awesome. He goes, no, it'll be restful. And I'm like, this is just not clear. And I'm not trying to be mean, and he wasn't taking it the wrong way. I was asking questions for him to explain to me what he believed, and it wasn't clear. I would challenge you that the Bible is much more clear than that. We read this last section of Ecclesiastes 12. This is about as clear as it gets. Now all has been heard. I've talked about all the nature of life and death and those kinds of things. Now all has been heard in verse 12. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. God watches all. God knows all. All things we will be held to account. But fear God and keep His commandments, and you're good to go. That's about as clear as it can get. What does it mean to fear God? It basically means to respect and honor God for the greatness of who He is, to be in awe of who He is. Okay, quick quiz, kids. How many people live on the earth? What's the population of the earth? A lot. Yeah, a real lot. 7 billion plus. Okay, there's a lot of people. The God that created the universe, the God that created all that you know, the God that created and breathed life into all 7 million of the people that are walking the earth, He cares about each one individually. He knows what each one is doing, whether good or evil. And He says, I want you to respect me as being in control of the universe and follow me with all of your heart. And the way that you do that is I reveal to you who I am through Jesus Christ. You know me because of my son, Jesus Christ. Follow him, believe in his life, his death, his resurrection, and I will be with you. Now, it's amazing that God can do that for all 7 billion people at the same time. How many people are in this room? Just round up 300 maybe? 250, 300? I can't do it for 250, 300. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're feeling. You probably think, you know, gosh, this pastor is awesome. But beyond that, I don't really know. You know, I'm just kidding. I'm putting thoughts in your head there, subliminal work there. But anyway, you don't know. I can't figure it out. But God knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows everything, and he loves you. And he says, look, let me be clear. I want you to respect and honor me as above all other beings, and I want you to keep my commands. I want you to guard the truths that I tell you. I want you to want to follow me and obey me as Lord of your life. Now, it's impossible to obey God in your own strength, but when you confess your faith in Jesus Christ, when you believe in him, when you trust in him, and receive his life, his death, his resurrection, his hope for your forgiveness of sins, then he gives you the ability to help you obey. But you have to want to, you have to desire it. And God is awesome, and he says, I want you to desire to follow me above all people. And sometimes we can figure this out on our own, but God has made us really relational in nature. What that means is he's made us to live and to understand truth better in relationships with one another and with friends. And one of my great examples of this is in the book of Acts. So it's not just God that wants you to read the Bible on your own. He provides you people like me, your Sunday school teachers, your small group leaders, other friends, your parents, to help you understand the Bible in case it gets confusing, which it does at times, and we need help. In the book of Acts in the New Testament, we're going to be in Acts chapter 8. And if you guys remember this story, there was an Ethiopian guy that was riding a chariot. He was royalty. He'd heard about the things of God, but he was really having trouble understanding, and it wasn't totally clear to him about what God was saying in the scriptures that he was reading. We pick up the story in verse 30. Philip, one of the great followers, disciples of Jesus Christ, right? Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, just like we were reading Ecclesiastes a minute ago. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And he was reading the passage of Scripture out of Isaiah that talked about the foreshadowing of Jesus. And Isaiah had promised this, that Jesus was, he was like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent. He did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from him. This talks about when he died for us on the cross. The man, the eunuch, said to Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him about who? Told him about the good news of Jesus. Scripture leads us to understand Jesus. Jesus leads us to forgiveness and a relationship with God. But sometimes we need help with each other. That's why we meet every Sunday. That's why we talk about things like Ecclesiastes, and I try to explain what it might mean and that it points to Jesus. That's why we read these kinds of passages together. We help each other, just like Philip helped the Ethiopian man. All right, so the Bible is perfect. The Bible is what? The Bible is sufficient was one of them I heard. It's purposeful. And what was the last one? It is clear. Okay, so let me see if I can illustrate this to you in sort of a different way. I'm going to have Miss Juliana come up here and help me with this illustration. Miss Juliana Loazzo, it's great to have you up here. Let me get this mic. So we've talked about these things. I'll give you this here. Make sure this is on. And you're going to illustrate this with me, okay? So pretend, I know it's a stretch, but pretend like I'm God, okay, just for a moment, right? That's more like your dad, but I'm going to be a substitute for a moment, right? And what I have here are Pastor Derek's instruction manual, just like God has given us the Bible. And I'm going to ask you to follow these things kind of in a way to picture what I just talked about. And so there's some very specific instructions on here. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to walk down the aisle on the right, turn left, walk across the back wall to the center aisle. You're not going to have to remember all this. The Bible was first given to us by verbal storytelling, but then it was written down so that we wouldn't forget. So I'm going to give you this to follow. It's written down just like our Bible. Second thing I want you to do is walk down the center aisle, turn right at the fifth row, walk through the fifth row to the next aisle, And then the third thing I want you to do is crawl down the aisle. I know that might be rough, but crawl down the aisle towards the stage, walk up the stairs to the baptistry window where there's a little treasure. There's a treat for you for following God and following these instructions. Think you can do that for me?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
All right. On your way.
So walk down the aisle on the right, turn left, and then walk across to the back.
Hold on. You got it here? So
yeah.
What do you got here? Walk down the aisle.
I don't know, right?
Pastor Derek gave this to you?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're trying to get to the end, right?
Yeah.
For the price. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you... Pastor Derek's not a runner, okay? So when he says walk, all right, that's kind of a generational thing. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of getting out of his running years, okay? So that's a cultural... So don't worry about that. The big point is to get to the end. So you can run, and that way we can save some time, get to the end, get it done. So don't worry about the walking part. Does that make sense?
I think I'll choose to walk. Okay. Walk down the center aisle and turn right at the fifth row. Walk through the fifth row to the next aisle.
Hey, what up? Oh, look at that. Whoa. He wants you to walk through the aisle? Girl, listen, you don't want to walk through the aisle. You're going to have to climb over people. I don't even know if they've showered. It just looks complicated. Okay, so just would I lead you astray? It's so much easier if you just like scoot around the front. There's tons of space. Nobody ever sits in the front aisle. Steve spits when he leads worship. So you can just up around the front and get there just the same. Just, you know, scooch around.
That's a good idea.
This is a little hard, so.
We'll do that.
All right.
So now I need to crawl down the aisle toward the stage.
Wait a minute. Did you say crawl? I'm so glad you said crawl because I've been studying all about crawling. Let me show you what I have. This is all about the army crawl. You got to read that and figure out how to do the army crawl perfectly, okay? And this one, oh, wait a minute. This one is my favorite. This is about the leopard crawl. Have you ever heard about the leopard crawl before? It's really cool. You should read about it. And wait. This one is the bear crawl. Bear crawls are always fun, but there's a lot of information in here. Make sure you get it right. And then, just in case those are too complicated for you, we've got the standard crawl, okay? This one, okay, so like little 8-month-old kids can get this one, but I think you need to read up on it. It's the one that goes, you know, right hand, right knee, left hand, left knee. Yeah, just read up on it, okay? I think that's good.
I don't think I'm going to need these. I think I know how to crawl. Oh. I think it's okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So let's see what you've got here, Juliana. You're going to need 3 numbers in order to open up this lock. All right? So come on over. So let's see here. First, you got number 1 when you chose to listen to Pastor Derek's instructions and walk down the aisle. His instructions were perfect. If you had listened to Pastor Daryl and ran down the aisle, you would have missed this. Well, let's see here. I don't see card number 2. You should have received that when you walked through the 5th row of people. Pastor Derek's instructions may not have been easy, but they were purposeful. Sometimes it's hard following the instructions you know are true. But just think about what you miss when you don't. So why don't you go back and try to do that one again? There you go. All right, so you have card number 1 and card number 2. Let's see, here's card number 3. Pastor Derek's instructions were sufficient for you to get the 3rd card. you certainly didn't need to read all those books on how to crawl in order to follow instructions. All right. So let's see here, Juliana. Use those numbers to open up this lock. There you go. So the instructions Pastor Derek gave you were perfect, purposeful, and sufficient. And I want to remind you that they were also very clear. God has given us clear instructions in the Bible that are perfect, purposeful, and sufficient for following Jesus no matter what.
Well, what a great illustration, what a great reminder for all of us this morning to trust the word of the Lord. And though sometimes it can be difficult to know that in the end it gets us where God desires us to be. So let me pray for us this morning. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you do communicate perfectly, purposely, sufficiently, and clearly. God, it's not always clear at the very beginning, but when we take the time to actually understand what it is that you're saying to us, it's amazing how clear your word is, and it is amazing how rich and true and purposeful and right your word is. And we're so grateful for that. And Lord, above all that, we're grateful that your word told us that this day would come, that Jesus would come, that he'd be born. We're grateful that your word tells us that he would live. We're grateful that your word tells us that he was going to take our place, that he was going to take the death that we deserve, God, that your word tells us that he rose from the dead and conquered the penalty for our sin, Father. And so we come today celebrating, Lord. We are so grateful for your word, Father, and may we always treasure it, and may we always continue daily to hide it in our hearts and to know it better so that we might live better as a representation of who you are and your character. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.